Good morning. Go ahead and be seated. All right. First case on our docket this morning is docket number 64535, Mirage versus Beale Street Blues Company. Mr. Bice, are you ready to go?
I am ready to proceed, Your
Honor. Okay, come on up.
Good morning. May it please the Court, I'm Todd Bice on behalf of Mirage Casino Hotel. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for my rebuttal.
Sure.
The issue before the Court is the District Court's order providing that Mirage had waived the right to compel arbitration of this matter by having participated in a bankruptcy proceeding that was dismissed at the debtor's insistence. And then the question becomes, does a party waive their right to compel arbitration by participating in a different proceeding under different rules in a different forum when the other party to the contract then seeks to voluntarily dismiss that action and render it a nullity?
Mr. Bice, before
yes?
you get there, there's also wrap within that. There's an issue that Beale Street made, asked for arbitration, and the Mirage wanted to give them a limited type of arb as to only certain issues. How does that play into this equation?
I don't believe it plays in at all, Justice Douglas, but let me explain precisely what did occur. What happened is Beale Street, the history on Beale Street, or B.B. King's as I refer to it was in financial arrears from almost inception. What happened is we entered into what became known as the Cure Agreement just because they needed to try and obtain some additional financing. So, and that Cure Agreement essentially served as, for their lenders, a type of an estoppel certificate. They had to acknowledge that they were in arrearages and that they had been in default and then had promised to bring that forward. Unfortunately, their operations just would never permit that to happen. They could just never get the ship righted. So what happened was we then said, well, you know, time is up here. You're not even complying with the Cure Agreement. And so we're going to terminate. And one of the provisions under the lease is we get the right to repossess the property. So their position was, well, we want to arbitrate. But they didn't file for arbitration. They said, we want to arbitrate, and since we want to arbitrate, that means that you can't retake possession of the property. Just merely claiming a right of to arbitrate somehow functions as an injunction of our other contractual rights. We rejected that premise flat out because it doesn't reject, it does not trump our other rights under Nevada state law. So what we said is, all right, you want to arbitrate, then at least cure the portion that they're isn't even a dispute on, because there was a portion of these arrearages they weren't even denying that they owed us. And we'll agree to arbitrate these other disputes. And they said, no, we won't do that. And we said, fine, if that's what you're going to do, we're going to exercise our other contractual rights. If they wanted to file for arbitration, they were, of course, free to do that, but that wouldn't have served as an injunction. That's why Mr. Gentile, who was representing him at the time, smartly did not commence an arbitration and, in fact, had the client file bankruptcy, use the automatic stay as the injunction, and that's what happened. And then we ultimately progressed to where we are at in this case now. And the record, I think, is quite clear, and there really isn't any controversy as to what happened. They filed bankruptcy. The case proceeded for a period of time. There was discovery in that action, principally conducted by Beale Street, and motions were, in fact, filed. But ultimately, that came to a head when they sought an injunction to stop us from exercising our rights under the Cure Agreement. Because under the Cure Agreement, we were entitled to take the monies that our customers at the hotel were charging to their rooms and offset it against their arrearages that they owed us. And again, it's not really possible to dispute that they owed it because they had agreed to the Cure Agreement, which acknowledged that it had all been owed. So that's what leads the bankruptcy court to conclude that there was no likelihood. They sought an injunction to stop us. The bankruptcy judge concluded there's no likelihood of success on these claims. And so, therefore, the injunction is denied. They took that as the writing on the wall in the bankruptcy case and decided that they no longer wanted to litigate in the bankruptcy court.
Can I ask you a question? I hate to interrupt
you.
I don't like to do that. But in May of 2010, Beale Street, from what I understand, acknowledged the arrearages. And then my understanding is in February of 2011, Beale Street had sent a reminder that disputes regarding the lease needed to be resolved through arbitration, and that the response was the arbitration clause didn't apply because they were in default.
No, I don't think it was that it didn't apply because they were in default.
Okay.
It was that that's not Mirage's exclusive remedy. Because we had told them we were going to terminate the lease and retake possession, which we had the right to do under the lease, arbitration or no arbitration. That's a right that we had bargained for under the lease. Mr. Gentile's position was he tried to argue with us that, no, by raising the prospect of arbitration, he didn't file for arbitration. By merely raising the prospect, that trumped our ability to repossess the property. And both Mr. Russell and myself told Mr. Gentile, and that's in the correspondence, that's just not true. If you have to vacate the premises or become current, they could have filed for arbitration had they wanted to, but it would not have stayed our obligation. Mr. Gentile very smartly recognized that that was true, and that's why the bankruptcy was filed, because the arbitration would not have served as a stay. And that's why they filed bankruptcy, to use the bankruptcy automatic stay as the injunction. So I'm not criticizing that decision by Mr. Gentile. It was actually a very prudent one as a lawyer on behalf of his client, because he recognized that merely filing arbitration would not have accomplished anything for them. We would have proceeded with the arbitration, but that would have not served as an injunction. That's why they used the bankruptcy process. When the bankruptcy process started going adversely to them, they decided that they wanted to switch forms and thereby claim that they could refile in state court. And as we cite the case law to you, the decision to abandon the bankruptcy proceeding, which was their decision, and a voluntary one at that, rendered that proceeding a nullity. And so you can't cite it as saying that, well, we were prejudiced by participating in something we filed and we conducted discovery in, and then we voluntarily abandoned for our own strategic reasons. There is no prejudice to them by anything that Mirage caused. And it makes perfect sense for Mirage in the bankruptcy context to decide and to not invoke arbitration. One, questions about whether or not it was even viable in the context of a bankruptcy proceeding. Number two, because you have a bankruptcy proceeding, and Mirage is the largest single creditor in that bankruptcy proceeding, and this is a Chapter 11 reorganization. So Mirage rightly said, well, we're going to, Beale Street, you want to use the bankruptcy process, and you want to have this process resolved in the context of a bankruptcy proceeding, we will do so. And Mirage, of course, was doing so, and we would submit, was on the verge of successfully resolving that in its favor. I think Beale Street's counsel recognized that fact, and that's why there was the race to suddenly, well, we want to voluntarily dismiss everything with the representation that they didn't have the assets to proceed with the litigation against Mirage. That was the basis for the voluntary dismissal in bankruptcy court, was the representation. We do not have the assets to proceed. Bankruptcy case gets dismissed. Later, they file in state court now, a whole different proceeding and a whole different venue and a whole different forum under different rules, and they say, well, now we want to proceed in state court, notwithstanding the contract that says that we agreed to arbitrate this dispute. Mirage didn't waive its right to compel arbitration simply because it defended itself in a bankruptcy proceeding that was rendered a nullity by their own decision. And even if, Mirage, even if you could ignore the fact that they voluntarily dismissed it, there's no evidence, and they presented none, that they were actually prejudiced. The discovery that they did, as they acknowledged to the district court below, that discovery could be used in any proceeding because they chose to abandon the bankruptcy proceeding. That is, as the Ninth Circuit said in the Richardson decision, which we cite, if you claim that that's an injury, that is a self-inflicted injury because you chose to undertake that course of conduct. Anything short of this, Justices, would basically reward forum shopping. And I don't think that there's really a serious debate that that's what Beale Street was doing. Once it recognized that the bankruptcy process and the bankruptcy proceedings were not going to go its way, and the judge had all but telegraphed that it wasn't, when he concluded there is no likelihood of success on these claims, they wanted to get out of there and go look for a new forum. And Mirage is not obligated to participate in the bankruptcy process where you've got a bankruptcy which has special rules, special protections for the creditors and the like, and say that, well, if you didn't invoke arbitration in that different proceeding under different rules in a different forum, you have somehow forever waived it. If they turn around and abandon that proceeding, file a new lawsuit in a different venue, in a different forum, under different rules.
What's the parameters if we allow the Mirage to arbitrate this? What's the parameters of the arbitration as opposed to the district court proceeding with the case?
I don't believe that there would be any difference in the parameters. As all arbitrations, they have agreed to arbitrate any disputes that arise under the terms of the lease, and all of the claims that they seek to assert arise under the terms of the lease. So the district court proceedings would not proceed. The district, and nothing has happened in the district court proceedings because we've agreed to not proceed in the district court until this court resolves the question of where is this claim supposed to be. So after the district court grant or denied our motion to compel arbitration, we have agreed to effectively stay the district court case until you all give us a ruling on this.
And then one other question I had was the fact that they're claiming the prejudice here partially a result of the discovery that was conducted in the bankruptcy proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
And can you explain that? You mentioned that most of the discovery was obtained by opposing.
Justice Perger, all the discovery was done by the other side except for effectively two depositions. And those two depositions grew out of a discovery dispute over a clandestine camera that had been placed on Mirage's property without its knowledge. And that is the dispute that developed, and those are the only depositions that we took. When I say Mirage, we did not engage in any discovery of our own in that proceeding, short of that issue. Because when that arose, the district court or the bankruptcy court gave us leave to take the two depositions because we had sought a motion concerning the propriety of that conduct.
All right, very good. And we chewed into your rebuttal time, so I'm going to give you two additional minutes. And, counsel, I'll add 2 minutes to your time as well.
While you're walking up, you can think about answering the question that I asked Mr. Bice about why not arbitration and why district court? What's so important to Beale about going to having to go to a district court judge that's going to be hearing other calendars and then giving you a short period of time, whereas in arbitration you go all day and you may finish in a day and save your clients a bunch of money?
And Your Honor, that's a very good question. And to address that question, there are two major points with respect to arbitrating this claim as opposed to having it done in front of the state district court. One of those, which is we addressed in the brief, obviously is the fees incurred in arbitration. Now, they argued in their brief that the fees, that's not a grounds for prejudice. That was argued in their brief. However, it is a grounds for prejudice if we had to expend a substantial amount of resources in this other forum, in a court, in an adversary proceeding, which they participated in. They participated, they filed answers, they filed counterclaims, they filed a cross motion for summary judgment. They took two depositions that normally would not be allowed in an arbitration proceeding.
Well, let me ask you that. That was one of the questions I had, Mr. Bice. It sounds like most of the discovery was initiated on your part.
And that is true. We did initiate most of the discovery, no question about it.
So the prejudice lies there. The prejudice you're claiming is essentially these two depositions that were taken.
That's part of the prejudice. Not just that. However, they actively participated in this proceeding, filed cross motions for summary judgment that we had to defend against. These depositions were proceedings that normally would not be allowed in an arbitration, and the case law says if they're doing discovery that you can't do in arbitration, that can be a form of prejudice as well.
Right, and you're claiming that the $40,000 or $50,000 it would have cost to arbitrate this was spent on litigation instead.
Correct, and that's precisely it.
Let me ask you one more question. In this lease, first of all, were most of the arrearages due to the what is it, the stewarding charges?
That's our position. Obviously, there's a dispute as to that. That's part of the issue. That's
your position.
Right.
But in the lease, as it related to those particular charges, there was no amount indicated other than simply the cost that it cost the Mirage and the benefits that would be incurred. I mean, when you've got, when you're faced with a provision like that in a lease, would it be wise to try and put a value on that or a cap or a monetary number that, and this is pretty open.
Correct. And there was quite a bit of negotiation that took place, and that was part of the fight in the bankruptcy proceedings. There was quite a bit of negotiations that took place, and there was a dispute as to what exactly did that term mean. Did it mean the actual cost of stewarding, meaning Mirage's actual cost? Was there some type of set amount that Mirage had in mind? And so that was part of the dispute. What we learned during the bankruptcy case, or the adversary proceeding, I should say, was that they weren't using as much stewarding manpower as they said they were.
Why is that an issue today? Why is it an issue today? In other words, you're talking about the merits of the case. We have to worry whether we should arbitrate it or litigate it.
Well, at the end of the day, it's not necessarily an issue in terms of whether or not the district court's finding on the waiver of arbitration was correct or not. However, obviously that will be an issue in the case. Absolutely. That's not a question.
But there's no question the whole dispute arises as a result of that provision in the lease.
That's the main portion of the dispute. There are other disputes that I suppose that would be collateral to that. Quite a few issues arose during the bankruptcy proceeding.
Tell me your prejudice by not arbitrating. What I worry about is watch out what you wish for, you may get it. In other words, the whole thing about ADR is it's supposed to be easier, cheaper, faster for everybody. And we applaud people who go to arbitration. We try to encourage it instead of litigation in the district court because our judges have plenty to do. What's the prejudice, and why doesn't Beale Street want to arbitrate?
And as far as what the prejudice is, and I agree, normally arbitration in some forms is a preferred method to resolve disputes. And completely agree. We attempted to do that back in February of 2011. That was the time to arbitrate. Because if it was arbitrated back then, we wouldn't be here.
But you didn't file a motion to arbitrate. You didn't do anything of that nature.
That's correct.
There was a letter that was sent reminding them. They made a response back. But that tell me your position on that.
Our position
for you.
Correct. Our position on that is we asked them for the arbitration. We sent them notice of our right to invoke arbitration, and their response is essentially kick rocks. We're not going to do that. They're saying that we have an obligation to arbitrate all disputes under the lease, yet they're not holding themselves to that same standard. That's exactly what their response was.
So you think that's the waiver when they said that?
Well, that's the beginning of the waiver, and then it continued on through the bankruptcy proceeding. And now there's this mention of, well, we're not even sure if you can arbitrate in an adversary proceeding. Unfortunately, I don't believe those issues were briefed. So, I sitting here today, I can't provide a response to that without having an opportunity to look at that issue. But as far as based on the paperwork we have now, there's no issue as to whether or not they could have arbitrated. They didn't ask for arbitration. We did prior to filing bankruptcy. We did ask for that remedy. And they told us, well, we're going to terminate the lease and we're going to take possession. Well, that's the asset of this company is this restaurant, and they were going to take that away.
If we affirm the judge below, is it going to be a jury trial or a bench trial?
To be honest with you, I don't know if a request for a jury trial has been made by either party yet, but I guess that would be the determining factor as to whether or not it would be a bench or a jury trial. With respect to the waiver issue itself, and it looks like that most of the comments have been focused on prejudice. As far as waiver of the right to arbitrate, the legal standard is that they knew that they had the right to arbitrate. Clearly, Mirage knew they had the right to arbitrate. We asked for it prior to filing the bankruptcy proceeding. They essentially rebuffed our request, and then the bankruptcy proceeding proceeded with no request for arbitration by the Mirage. Now, and as a reminder, it's the Mirage now that's attempting to compel the arbitration, not Beale Street. And they made no attempt during this adversary proceeding to request an arbitration. To the contrary, they did the opposite. They filed an answer and counterclaim. They maintained counterclaims. We filed a motion for summary judgment on a substantive issue, namely the breach of the lease. They filed a cross motion for summary judgment on that issue with regard to the breach of the lease. Now, we're talking about substantive.
Are those motions still pending?
They were, but once, and the issue was once the bankrupt, the underlying bankruptcy was dismissed. Now, Bill Street had separate counsel for the underlying bankruptcy proceeding. We were merely counsel for the adversary proceeding. And quite frankly, we normally don't handle bankruptcy matters, and that's one of the reasons why they had two separate counsel.
I understand that.
So when the underlying bankruptcy case was dismissed, us as counsel for Bill Street, we weren't sure whether or not that meant that the entire case was dismissed with including the adversary proceeding. All the judge said was the adversary proceeding was dismissed without prejudice. I don't believe there is a specific request for that to be dismissed. It was simply done sua sponte.
So, why did you guys get out of bankruptcy? What was the purpose of getting out of bankruptcy? You could have resolved this case in the bankruptcy court.
Well,
no arbitration and no litigation in front of the 8th Judicial Court. I just don't understand the thinking here.
In bankruptcy, eventually the Mirage did retake possession of the restaurant. Yeah. And at that point, there were no more assets, no more funds, nothing left to litigate and to pay bankruptcy counsel with. There was nothing left in the estate to pay the bankruptcy counsel when underlying bankruptcy counsel obviously was paid per hour.
Why do I think that there's a recent United States Supreme Court case that says you could still go, even though what you say is true, you could still have it resolved in the bankruptcy court?
And that may be true. Unfortunately, we weren't aware that was the case. And when the bankruptcy court sua sponte dismissed the adversary proceeding without prejudice, well, we had two choices. We could either go back to him and ask him to reopen it, and I don't know how long that would have taken, or try to get what I perceive to be a quicker forum. And less expensive for them here in state court.
What about the standard of review as to the judge's decision? What's our standard of review here at the at this panel of the Supreme Court? What's on her decision to deny, to not compel arbitration?
Because of the factual issues, I believe the standard is, and we've set it forth in our brief, the standard is was the decision clearly erroneous? Now, it's a hybrid question, right? Waiver is a hybrid question. And there are issues of law as well. However, there were some intense factual discussions below, and there's still to this day, there's factual disputes as to the waiver issue. For example, they're saying, well, we didn't really participate, not a lot of discovery took place, and we're saying, no, a lot of discovery did take place, you did participate. So there's a lot of back and forth, and there's also quite a bit of back and forth as to whether or not they rejected arbitration in the first place. So there were some issues of fact, and there still are. And those determinations by the district court judge as to those issues of fact and as to the prejudice issue, I believe the standard would be to give deference to those decisions.
Now, what about just one more question about? I don't mean to press this, but if we say arbitration, if we agree that it's going to be arbitration, who will decide these motions? Will the judges decide the motions, or will the motion for summary judgment, or will the arbitrator decide the motions?
And that's the issue, Judge. I'm not sure. This is a unique situation, and that's why we believe there's quite a bit of prejudice. Because now, if we're going to involve a third party private neutral in this matter, I'm not sure what types of deposition transcripts or testimony he's going to let in. I don't know if he's going to be able to hear these motions that we've already filed. There's quite a bit there that's unknown, and that's another concern for Bill Street. We don't know how expensive this arbitration is going to get. And again, if arbitration was the answer, it should have been done back in February of 2011. That's the main concern, back when the estate actually had assets to pay for these arbitration fees and to deal with these issues.
Let me ask you a question. One of their positions, Mirage's positions, is that because you voluntarily dismissed the bankruptcy proceeding, a voluntarily dismissed case is a legal nullity, and that therefore the participation in bankruptcy proceeding can't establish a waiver in this case.
There's two problems with their position there. The first problem is, if in fact the bankruptcy proceeding was a legal nullity, and assuming that we voluntarily dismissed the adversary proceeding, which we did not, that was dismissed sua sponte without prejudice by the bankruptcy court judge. Well, let's just assume that it was voluntarily dismissed and that entire bankruptcy proceeding, including the adversary proceeding, is a legal nullity. Well, if you want to talk about prejudice, all those depositions, all the discovery we did, everything we did in that case apparently is no longer, is gone. It doesn't exist if it's a legal nullity. That's issue number one. Issue number two is we didn't voluntarily dismiss the adversary proceeding. That was not done. It wasn't specifically requested, and the court dismissed it without prejudice. And at that point, we're like, well, we're not sure what to do at this point. Let's just file and try to get a venue that, again, I perceive moves a little bit faster. As far as, again, going back to the issue of waiver, because at the end of the day, the district court denied their motion to compel arbitration. And that's, from what I can tell from the briefing, that's the sole issue before the court. As far as that's concerned, there's a number of issues as far as prejudice is concerned. And some of the examples that were given for prejudice include, and this is in the context of a waiver of an arbitration clause, prejudice refers to inherent fairness in terms of delay, expense, or damage to a party's legal position or legal rights. So, and with respect to their argument that, well, it's a different form, it's a different venue, the Nevada Gold case addressed that. And the waiver in that case occurred with, I believe there's a case out in Texas and then there's a case out in Nevada. Two completely different forums, different rules, and different procedures you have to follow. And the Nevada Supreme Court still ruled in that case that there was a waiver of the right to arbitrate because of the participation in the other forum. So the issue as far as different rules, I don't believe that's persuasive. The case law says quite the opposite. With respect to the issues that have been raised as to forum shopping, that wasn't the intent with the involuntary dismissal. It's not intended to forum shop. It's quite frankly, the estate was out of money and it couldn't even pay its own bankruptcy counsel anymore. And at that point, if there's no assets to split up amongst the creditors and there's no money to even pay bankruptcy counsel, what's the purpose of having the bankruptcy at that point? That's why that particular proceeding, not the adversary proceeding, but just the underlying bankruptcy, was voluntarily dismissed as to that particular issue. And with that, Your Honors, I have nothing further to add.
Any questions?
No.
No? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, members of the court. Let me address these sort of in order. The prejudice that is being claimed is the cost of arbitration. That's what it really is, and that's what they told the district court it really is. Their complaint now is that it's cost too much money to arbitrate because they chose to litigate in the bankruptcy process and then seek its dismissal. Those are the very definition. If it is an injury, it is the most self-inflicted injury that one can have because they are the ones who chose to get out of the bankruptcy process. The bankruptcy court specifically rejected this argument that they made that somehow we were the ones that were required to compel arbitration in order to remove them from the premises. The bankruptcy court even pointed out to them, you didn't file for arbitration, you being Beale Street. It wasn't the Mirage's obligation to do that. You can't take Mirage's rights away by just simply saying, well, there's an arbitration clause, so you can't exercise all of your other rights under the lease. And that was what they tried to do, and when we rejected it, that's why they used the bankruptcy process as the automatic stay granted them the injunction. These, again, are decisions that they made to proceed in this fashion, only to then later abandon it. And there isn't a dispute. This assertion that the bankruptcy court sua sponte dismissed this is simply not accurate.
Well, my understanding, the court, the bankruptcy court sua sponte dismissed the adversarial process.
I disagree that it was a sua sponte dismissal. The motion to dismiss was a motion for voluntary dismissal of the case, and what the representation was, and there's no dispute that this was the representation, is that they no longer had the funds to proceed with the adversary proceeding. That was the representation, because we filed a counter motion to convert this to a Chapter 7 liquidation. And their entire argument was, well, and our point was, the litigation is an asset of the estate. So if you claim to have an asset in the estate, i.e. this claim against Mirage, that's an estate asset. They sought dismissal of all of this, not just the bankruptcy aspect of this, and try and keep the adversary proceedings moving forward. They wanted it all dismissed so that they could then turn around and file in a different form under different rules and then make a jury demand, which is what this has really come down to. And Mr. Claggett at the district court proceedings made it crystal clear this is a jury case now because they dismissed out of bankruptcy and are now coming over here. And so with all due respect, to claim that this wasn't a move to forum shop and get different sets of rules is just simply not borne out by the record. The record establishes what really happened here is, you'll notice they didn't seek the dismissal until the bankruptcy judge denied the injunction request and said, made the finding, there's no likelihood of success on the merits of these claims. It is not a coincidence that the motion to dismiss, or the voluntary dismissal, came after that adverse ruling. And there were pending motions for summary judgment pending. They didn't want the bankruptcy judge to decide them. If you wanted to proceed and you were worried about the prejudice and the cost, why wouldn't you let the bankruptcy judge decide those motions? They had been pending and were fully briefed. They raced into the bankruptcy court after that adverse ruling on the injunction request and voluntarily dismissed because they didn't want the bankruptcy judge to decide those motions. This is not a prejudice. All the costs that's being claimed as their prejudice are costs they chose to incur in a different form and then abandoned all the consequences of that by voluntarily dismissing. Those, again, are self-inflicted decisions made by them. We are not obligated to accept that and then let them change forms, make a jury demand when they've agreed to arbitration, and then say, well, you had to seek arbitration in a completely different context. The bankruptcy court, which is governed by a completely different set of rules and a completely different procedure, because we can then abandon our bankruptcy case and now claim that you have waived, forever waived, your arbitration rights under this agreement for different contexts. And that is simply not the law. If the argument you just heard is that we somehow got discovery we wouldn't be entitled to an arbitration, where is there any evidence of that? Where is there any evidence that you don't get depositions in arbitration? You absolutely get depositions in arbitration. And by the way, if somebody then gamed the system, they took 10 depositions. So they're telling you that they took 10 depositions, then abandoned the case, and now want to use those in the district court proceedings or even in the arbitration proceedings, but telling you they're prejudiced because we took 2 depositions as approved by the bankruptcy court. There, with all due respect, the party prejudiced here by this maneuver was Mirage, not Beale Street.
All right. Thank you, Counsel. Any questions?
No?
I think. All right, Counsel, thank you both for the arguments in this case, and the briefing was very well done. This case will stand submitted.